To Ephesians chapter 6, and we have been touching on foundational principles in a Christian life, and we talk about union with Jesus. Oh yes, the Sunday school. Yeah, God bless you. And we have talked about union with Jesus, and then we have spoken about how that we belong to Jesus, or we are the beloveds, and there is these are Christian principles in which we take for granted, but we need to have a grasp and understanding of it in order to perceive and grow. See, without a foundation, you can't build whatever you want to build. It's the foundation that would determine how well the other things, no matter how good, can be retained. And unless we are founded, as we mentioned, many times in school, we teach the children. Children are taught in school science, maths, they're taught all the different skills and knowledge, etc. Lots of good things. But they are not taught life. They're not taught how to make friends, how to live this life, the purpose of this life, why they are here. And it's these foundational principles which I believe is lacking, which if they are taught properly, we could change the whole education scene. In other words, a lot of school children don't know why they are studying. Why am I here? And therefore, they're not motivated to study. I don't think it's because they are not able to study. It's because they have no motivation to study. And if they have been given some motivation to study, they could well excel in studies much more than we realize. And the same in the Christian life, we take the foundational principles for granted, and it's not taught. We are taught a lot of things about the Bible, a lot of principles here and there, but we don't know how to fit them in because we don't have the foundation to fit them in. So we are talking about how one of the most important things about Christian life, the beginning, the middle, and the end, is just to be in union with Jesus. That's all. Nothing complicated. And whatever principle that comes along, it must establish the union and make us stronger in our own personal relationship with Jesus. And we talk about the other principle by which we have to regard everything that we do, everything that we are, as not belonging to us. It belongs to Jesus. We are His. My beloved is mine, I'm His. And then we learn the other principle of I am my beloved and He is mine. That means everything that we have belongs to Him. Everything that we do is His. And we regard ourselves no more as masters, but as slaves and servants to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that will establish a foundation in our life. The way we learn, the way we grow in our Christian life, in our Christian character will come forth. The third area that we are touching on today is in regard to prayer. And that's why we turn to Ephesians chapter 6. There are a lot of things we learn about prayer, but we need to understand that prayer has many, many different areas, different types. And so sometimes we learn different types of prayer and we don't know how to fit them all together. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and we have it on the transparency. We have it on the projection for you, projection screen. Ephesians chapter 6. And the passage that we're looking on is verse 18, towards the end of the armor of God that he mentions. It says here in the Old King James, in Ephesians 6 verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. There's a whole mouthful there. And what I'd like to read to you is from the Greek too, so that you can understand there's more things that he's speaking about here. And you wonder what the Greek sounds like. It says diapasis prasaises and kaidesis prosukiominoi and pantikairo and pneumati. Right. What that means, I'm not speaking in tongues there. But what it says here is, by all prayer and supplication, praying in every season. Now, how come the word season is not translated into the English? in every season. En panti kairo means in every season, in the spirit. And unto this very thing, watching with all perseverance in supplications for all saints. And in one sentence, he used different Greek words for prayer. He used one familiar one called prosuke, which is translated as the word prayer, in all prayer. The first three words there. In all praying, with all prayer. And he also used the other word for prayer, which is the word deisis, which has been translated as supplication. And when we look at this little translation, the first thing that we gather is there are many types of prayer. The word praying always with all prayer. The word all means all manner of prayer, many types of prayer, not just one type of prayer. Many times all we know is prayer is prayer. Unfortunately, no. Prayer has many different aspects. And prayer, as I mentioned in the little Bible reading in the little newsletter, little leaflet this morning, prayer to the spirit man is like breathing. Your natural man, the body breathes. And prayer to the spirit man is like breathing. If you don't breathe, you don't have enough oxygen by which you could continue to function in your physical body. Now, our breathing, looking at the natural, our breathing in the natural world goes to different speeds. When you're running, when you watch these Olympic runners running, one of the most interesting things, have you noticed when you watch the 100 meters, some of you didn't have the opportunity to watch the 100 meters, have you looked carefully at what their faces look like? I'm not very good because I'm not that runner. That's the best I can do. And I was watching it and I told my son, look, they look like fish in the water, gasping for air, you know. If you see them running again tonight or these few days, right, watch their faces, right. It's interesting, all their muscles are going, and like they're grabbing for oxygen. Who's sucking in oxygen? Obviously, if you're running the 100 meters, you're not going to breathe the same way you breathe when you were lying in bed. You're not going to. None of the runners were running. Now, how does a chariot of fire thing go? Right? How does it go? And the theme for the chariot of fire goes. You're not gonna breathe like you breathe when you're in bed when you're running a 100-meter race or in Olympics. In the same way, you don't breathe the same way when you're swimming. You breathe through. You use your mouth more than your nose. And you use your mouth to breathe instead of your nose. And there are different areas of breathing that we go through in under normal life. Plus, your sleeping speed of breathing, your walking, your running, all these are different speeds. Now, if that's true in the natural, in the spirit world, wouldn't it be funny if you're in a spiritual 100-meter race and you're trying to apply the laws of prayer that apply when you're sleeping spiritually or maybe sailing spiritually. Right? When you need to be using the principles of prayer where you're breathing like a fish and you're there. Yeah? And so then you look around and say, I wonder why my prayer doesn't work. Of course you wouldn't work. If you breathe and run a 100-meter race, but you breathe the way you breathe, you know, and you begin to breathe slowly, so slow, that you look like you're almost in a trans-meditative state, right? Yeah, we all will have to wait 1 hour for you to finish the 100-meter. Obviously. These are all principles that we need to put together. Now, first of all, we need to establish how many types of prayer there are. I don't think we have covered all of them, but let me give you some of them. Number one, there is the prayer of faith. Prayer of faith is mentioned in Mark chapter 11, verse 23-24. The most common that most people know, prayer of faith. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23-24. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come, will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now there are principles that govern the prayer of faith. In the prayer of faith, your confession is important. What you say after you pray that prayer is important. And what you believe about that prayer is important. The prayer of faith, if you look at it very carefully, is more faith in the word that you're speaking, because the word that you're speaking is in line with the word of God. It is like agreeing with God's word. Looking at Mark 11, 23, 24 very carefully, look at what he believes. It did not just say he believes in God, but it says, in verse 23, believes, what does he believe in? He believes that those things he says will be done. Now, where is his faith resting on? His faith is resting on the words that he just released. That his words are the power to break through that circumstances. So when you pray the prayer of faith, you're releasing a word. And when you say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, you believe that those words are going forth and cutting those mountains. It's a different dimension. It's a prayer of faith. On the other hand, it's the prayer of surrender, dedication. And suddenly that confidence, that certainty, that I know, attitude that is there in a prayer of faith disappears. Instead, it becomes something like Jesus' prayer when he was in Gethsemane. In the Gospel of Luke, this is Jesus' prayer as he held the cup before the Father. And chapter 22 of Luke, verse 42. He says, let me read verse 41, 42, 43. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. One of the most beautiful scenes. And he was withdrawn from them about stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed. So this is a prayer. Saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. It doesn't sound like a prayer of faith. Here it's a prayer of surrender. It says, Lord, your will, not mine, be done. And it's a very quiet, very soft, very yielded type of prayer. Right? You're not like taking authority at all. Very few people pray the prayer of surrender, saying, Father, I surrender to you. Very few people pray the prayer of surrender that way. Most of the time, I hope that didn't just woke you up, right? But many of us will pray that prayer with our heart, with surrender. Sometimes the tears flowing from our eyes because we are coming to the point of surrender, which is the difficult thing in God, right? So it's a totally different opposite end. But yet, that is one of the principles of prayer that we must absorb into our practice in our Christian life. And to summarize in one or two sentences, the prayer of faith involves areas which God has already promised, which God has already covered, which God says, it is yours, take it. Therefore, you cannot pray the prayer of faith for something which God didn't promise. Like, for example, you can't pray the prayer of faith not to have children. Because the promise of God is that you have lots of them. But you probably have some sincere Christian to say, well, you know, and just new couples getting newly married, and you're going to marriage counseling with them, or maybe they're young in the Lord. And normally, when we do marriage counseling, we counsel them on family planning and everything else. And so, you know, some of them have foolish notions. They say, you know, what birth control method will we use? Oh, we just believe in the Lord. And we just pray that we won't have children, and we won't. And when we want, we pray we have children, and we won't. Well, bless God, you're going to be like Father Abraham. Father Abraham had many children had Father Abraham. Right. We cannot exercise faith or the prayer of faith in an area where God never promised. So remember that. The prayer of faith regards areas that God has promised and is a part of your inheritance. The prayer of surrender involves an offering of yourself and everything that you are to the Lord as a worship, and it has to be done constantly. Like the prayer of faith, you can pray once and keep believing on it. The prayer of surrender or dedication has to be prayed constantly, because new things come into our life that we need to surrender to Him. And it's different when you're starting off in life at 16 years old and you say, Lord, I surrender all. And it's different when you're about 40 years old and you have lots of things and lots of inheritance and lots of different things, and you say, Lord, I surrender all. It's different. The level of surrender is more. And so the prayer of surrender needs to be prayed constantly. In fact, it has to be prayed every day in our life. And it has to be prayed in every circumstances as often as you can. It's a prayer of surrender. And then the other prayer is called prevailing prayer. Prevailing prayer. And prevailing prayer is mentioned in the Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter 12. And this time they were praying for Peter. And it looks like intercession, but I'm going to differentiate it. I'm going to call it prevailing prayer. Acts chapter 12. It says that in verse 5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. So there was constant prayer being made for him. Why can't they pray the prayer of faith? Because they didn't know whether it's God's will for Peter to be a martyr or to stay. You can't pray the prayer of faith in an area you don't know what God's will is. And why can't they pray the prayer of dedication and surrender? Because they were also not sure whether they were supposed to surrender Peter to die. Right? And you can't pray the prayer of dedication for somebody. You can only pray the prayer of dedication for yourself. At the most, parents can pray for it for their children who are still under their authority. But prayer dedication is more or less you surrender yourself. And here's an area where they brought a type of prayer called constant prayer. Constant prayer is where you're bringing it forth before God in the spirit realm. And like you're lifting it up before God. And in an area where you know nothing about. You don't know what is God's will. You don't know how God will work in that circumstances. And yet, you sense that you need to bring it before God. So it's a prayer of a prevailing prayer. And there are some circumstances in life that are that way. Where you've got to just bring it before God. You're not sure how long it goes, where it goes, and what circumstances you'll be going through. For example, during the time of Jeremiah the prophet, at that time God was already dealing with the Israelites. And they can't pray a prayer of faith saying, God, repel all this Babylonian empire. They can't, because it was a part of God's judgment that was coming through. How will they pray in this area? They'll pray the prayer of surrender And if areas where you do not know God's will, you pray the constant prayer before God. You just pray constant prayer. And that constant prayer usually is undergirded by praying in the Spirit. Just bringing it before God continually, on and on before God, until God begins to reveal Himself. That's prevailing prayer. And usually, why does it take so long to prevail? It involves God's will, which is unknown. It involves satanic opposition. Here, Herod was being used by Satan. And when there's satanic opposition, you got to be holding up your hands like Moses holding up his hands while Joshua and the Israelites were fighting. And you got to just constantly bring it before God. And number three, it involves human free will. What would Peter be choosing in that situation? If Peter had said, "Lord, I want to go home," that would be it. What would his choice be? So they involve free will. And in those kind of circumstances, you need constant prayer before God. Bringing it before God. Sometimes it involves what you call chain prayer, 24 hours, where it's more desperate. Other times, it could be spread over a year, where constantly at a certain time of day, you get together in God, where you constantly pray over those matters. And a lot of areas where you pray for the city or pray for the nation, it involves the free will of thousands and millions of people. And it involves God's will, which is still being discovered, and it involves satanic pockets of opposition against what you want God's will to be done. Therefore, many times prayer for a nation involves constant prayer. It's not that you can pray once by faith for a nation. You need constant prayer. The other type of prayer is unceasing prayer. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 6. Chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Unceasing prayer. And each prayer is special. Unceasing prayer is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. So there must be some sort of prayer Paul is talking about, unceasing prayer. Unceasing prayer is more an attitude of consciousness of God. And unceasing prayer can be done even when you walk with God closely in your sleep. It's the unceasing prayer, to summarize it, is a constant practice of God's presence. And where you're always communing with Him. You're in communion with God. And in every second senses, your consciousness of God is there. You're always in communion with God. You can undergird it by in praying in the Spirit. And I was with this guy in Singapore. His name is Vernon Falls. He's one of those guys who, when he prophesied, his hand was shake. Right. That way. But he's a prophet. And his hand shake like that when he prophesied. He called different persons. And so when we were in Singapore, and he was based in Singapore at that time, and I was in his car, and he's taking me from one meeting to the other. And then I hear this sound. I go, then I kept listening to him, and I wonder what was wrong with his car. So I wondering where the sound was coming from. So I kept looking around, and then in the air, I realized the sound was coming from him. And then when I look at him very carefully, his mouth was moving and making the sound. So I said, "Are you praying in the Spirit?" He says, "Yes." Well, either your false teeth is making sound, then I realized that the sound was coming from him when he was praying. Right. And it's praying so softly that all you hear sometimes the little sounds that come because of the crunching of his teeth or whatever that was. So that was, he was trying to practice unceasing prayer, bringing it before God. The unceasing prayer is important because if you learn to have that, it helps you in your daily life when you go to work. You don't have to, sometimes in your office situation, you don't have the opportunity to pray some of the other prayers. And you have to pray unceasing prayer before God. And then there is what I call spontaneous prayer. That is found especially in the book of Nehemiah